Well, hello and welcome to episode Greg Diesel Williams of the Two Tones.
Lovely to be here, Tony. How's things? You're off the deathbed?
Yes, I am. It was a sick bed that didn't transform into a deathbed. I need to speak to 40 Winks about that. How are you going, Tony?
Not bad at all, Tony. Just trying to, you know, get through the first round and the disappointment. Mm. I guess it was the contest against Richmond. In saying that, there are some positives to take away from that, which we'll, I'm sure, discuss shortly.
Yes, let's do that. Now, there were many new players who debuted. Excuse me, Caleb Marchbank. What did you make of his game?
I thought Caleb Marchbank was absolutely superb. And you might recall last week mention being made of Rance as the one of the real danger men for Richmond because of his rebounding attributes as a key defender. Well, I thought that's exactly what we got out of Caleb Marchbank. And I think the great thing about Caleb Marchbank is that we can see that he's a player that's probably going to hold that down that rebounding defensive post for the next decade.
Yeah,
I just thought he was absolutely superb and probably was the pick of the debutants. However, in saying that, you know, we got glimpses of McCready, Petrevsky, Seaton and Pickett.
Yes, I was very excited by him, I've got to say.
You were?
Yeah, I really was.
Well,
some flashes there and I thought, wow, his skills.
Oh, yeah.
Great to watch.
Great to watch. Pickett almost pulled off goal of the year, in the second half. McCready showed that he was at home when he got the call up to come on, you know, and again, as a nice size of a boy and... look really comfortable out there. And Petrevsky Seaton, I think he got a touch pretty early on the piece, which was enormous for his confidence.
Yeah.
And it was just magnificent to see that lateral movement, you know, those sidesteps that the Indigenous players inherently, you know, have. So I think, you know, to be fair, and I'm sure all Carlton supporters looking on would have felt this way, that we see the real future of the Carlton Football Club embodied in players like Marchbank, Petrevsky, Seaton, McCready and Pickett. And I think that that was what probably all of us most took away from that game.
Well, yeah, definitely from those debutants, and there was certainly a lot of faith in Soss's plan and Soss's vision and certainly his instincts as far as recruiting talent goes. So there was that. There were older heads who did, and when I say older, I mean, it's so remarkable that you regard Jakob Wittring. Well, he is an old head in a young body.
Well, he is, isn't he? And I mean, you know, we mentioned Rance being the danger man last week. Well, you know, it's very rare that you see a player like Rance, who is such an attacking offensive player, you know, really having to worry about the bloke on him, the direct opponent that was Wittring. And Wittring was truly keeping Rance honest. And the thing with Wittring, I think he's so good in the one-on-one contest. You'd almost back him every time the ball comes in. And he's, you know, like you've alluded to, Tony, you know, an old head on young shoulders. He seems as though he's been there forever and a day. And he's, you know, a player of 200 games experience. He just looks so relaxed and so poised. Is capable of making the right decision and is just a very, very good player for the Carlton Club. And we know that at his tender age, he's only going to get better with more experience, more game time, more years under his belt.
Did you see the incident with Rance where Rance helped Jakob into the dirt?
Well, that's a fair point you make because that happened quite early in the game. And I think young Jakob came out of it with a hip problem, was hobbling around pretty badly. I think he came off the ground for a period. So he had to weather that and get through the pain barrier, so to speak. And he really delivered for Carlton the longer the game went on. Another honourable mention I'd like to make here, Tone, is Jack Silvani, because I thought for the limited opportunities that he did have forward, he was a real danger player in attack for Carlton. And I think with Jack, what you see is the smarts, the football smarts. Yeah. You know, he knows how to make position, knows where to run, a fantastic reader of the play, and he's also very creative with the ball. So, look, these are the future embodied in our youth. You know, and I just think it's extremely exciting. And you know, you want to see them as many of them played as possible. And I think Brendan Bolton's the sort of player that will call blokes up and give them a chance.
Yeah.
If they show that they're ready to go and they've got form on the board, you know, whether it be in the twos or wherever.
Well, look, I think we understand that this year is about playing all of the new talent that we have. And what was so edifying about the other night was that that talent has potential. It has real... It seemed, just on that limited exposure that we've had so far, yes. It's one game, but you look at the context. It's a context. It's 72,000 people at the G.
Well.
And, and the first game of the season, there was a lot of build-up and there was a lot of expectation. And I thought it was the result aside, it was a contest that was compelling. Enough.
Well, it was, and it's. I'm glad you alluded to the audience. 73,137 it was. A lot of Carlton people there, a lot of members and supporters.
Yeah, the big cheers when Carlton scored, which was great.
And you know why I think there was such a good turnout, Tony? Notwithstanding the fact it was the opening game of the season, that has a fair bit to do with it. But I do think the rank and file, our supporters and members, get it. They understand where Carlton is at, what it's trying to achieve, where it's going, and that the future is in the youth. And I'm sure that the members and supporters to a man, woman and child really appreciate seeing the future of Carlton on show before them. So all credit to the supporters for turning out and supporting the team, because it was great to see the MCG packed. It really was.
Well, I wouldn't have been the only one there diving for the record with those new numbers. Do you want to just talk us through them quickly, Tony?
Oh.
Petrescu Seaton,
he's got number 5. Yep. If memory serves, you know, it's a fairly handy number in Carlton history. I mean, Andrew McKay will claim it. Sid Jackson will too. But great man, C. Judd, soon to be a board member at Carlton.
Yep.
Made it his own, didn't he, for so many years at the place. Full credit to him, young Petrescu Seaton. He seems like a player who's extremely level-headed.
Yeah.
I had the great fortune, Tony, of interviewing him post-match. And if you get an opportunity to see it, you'll see how purposeful he is in his mindset, and how this was always part of the big picture for him from the time that he was a young kid all the way home at Halls Creek.
Yeah.
He had this ambition to one day run out into a senior game of AFL footy, and had mentioned how, you know, if it meant him relocating to Perth along the way to try and realise that dream, so be it.
Yeah.
So to run out round one, first senior game, that's a little tick to Samo Petrescu Seaton, and I think we're going to see a lot more of him, because he's a man on a journey like so many of the young players, and I think he'll be a really, really great player for Carlton in the weeks, months and years to come.
We certainly hope. Caleb Marchbank, he's got what number?
Caleb Marchbank, if memory serves, is 22.
Oh, okay, Glenn Manton's number.
I believe it's 22. Yeah. You've got me without notice here. But again, a great find for the Carlton Football Club. Of course, has Carlton pedigree. You know, he's I think the uncle of his great-grandfather was Jim Marchbank, who's a two-time premiership player at Carlton in the early days under Jack Worrell. Mm. The axeman from, I think he was down might have been Eastern Victoria, was a great player in his own right for the Carlton Football Club. So there is a bona fide Carlton connection here, and he's just so thrilled to be part of the fold now. And as I said earlier, he looks like a player that will really tie down the key defensive post for the better part of the next decade.
Oh, that's exciting stuff. Now, I guess, just a quote from Brendan Bolton. I think we've touched on this just before, Tone. We had 5 teenagers, about 7 players under 21 and 3 debutants. So I think in the context of that, I mean, Richmond haven't had those list changes to the same extent that
they
had.
Haven't.
They had, I guess, more expectation than we did.
Yes.
Given that, I thought the result was good for Carlton.
It was, because, again, there's no ambiguity with Carlton and where it's at. Everyone knows that, you know, this is a, you know, and it's been well recorded, obviously, this is a serious rebuild. The club won't deviate from that objective to promote youth. It will have to keep its nerve because there's a lot of external noise, criticism of Carlton for, you know.
That's already started in the media.
Oh, it's it took them a while, didn't it, Tony?
Yeah.
One round they're already gunning for us. But I think Brendan Bolton and the coaching panel won't waver or deviate from the objective here. It's just to get as many games into these young fellows as is humanly possible. And I just think... you know, we all strap ourselves in for the ride and let's see where it takes us because the only way is up and I think that's where it's going to go. And that's exciting. It's probably, what do they say, it's as much about the journey as it is the destination.
Yes.
And I think that's true. I don't know if that was W. Churchill that said that tone.
No, I think it was Mahatma Coat. We are going to wear a bit of hurt between now and the end of the season, but it will not be for naught. Now, Tone...
Can I interject for a minute?
When
you asked about numbers too, and young Jared Pickett, number 33, and he did tell me that that's homage to the great Cyril Rioli.
Ah.
So if he's half as decent as Cyril, we're in for a rather exciting era ahead from him.
Indeed. Or, you know, great honour to the great Matty Hogg. Now...
Very true.
Your three votes, Tone.
Well, look, I found it difficult, but again, in keeping with the philosophy of the Carlton Football Club, I'm going with youth for two of my three vote-getters. I'd like to award one vote to Jakob Wietering.
Yay.
I thought he was superb.
Yes.
And really kept Rance honest in the contest on Thursday night. Two votes I give to another Carlton first gamer, Caleb Marchbank. Well played, son. Great to see you out there strutting your stuff. And three votes I gave to our ruckman, Matty Cruiser.
Oh.
Because I don't think
Louise.
I don't think I've seen him move as well as he did on Thursday night at any other stage of his career. And I suppose what we see with Cruiser is the legacy of a full pre-season. He's probably never had a go at a full pre-season preparation going into any season since he's been at the club. So we saw, you know, what how free he was, you know, the capacity to rove his own hit-outs.
Yes.
And I put this to you, Tony, when we get Andrew Phillips back, could we actually see a following division of Phillips, Cruiser as ruck rover and Cripps in midfield? You've got all these blokes are 6 foot four, five plus. Yeah. Imagine being an opposition midfielder. You've got these giants walking around causing havoc in midfield. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens to the dynamic when Andrew Phillips returns. Because
what is the status with him?
Well, it's a good question. I notice he's running again. I don't believe he's resumed full match practice. So maybe still a little while away. But the main thing, he's up and about again and we can't get him back quick enough. But it will be interesting to see the dynamic when he returns. What will happen to Matt Cruiser? Will they share ruck duties? Will Phillips' presence mean Cruiser goes forward? It'll just be very interesting to see. I think the good thing about that, it's a good problem for Bolton to have because it'll mean he'll have more options. So I was thinking about that the other night, how important a player Andrew Phillips actually is from the point of view of Carlton's on-field structures.
Yeah.
You know, and when he comes back, that will be a very pleasant problem for Brendan Bolton to have.
Just on Cruz, he moved with confidence.
He did.
There was a surety about his decision-making.
Oh,
And that was great to see.
It was great to see. And, you know, there's a man that had faith in his body and what it was capable of doing. And it's probably fair to say that for a long, long time, Matty's body hasn't allowed him to do what he wanted, what he wanted to do, or is capable of doing on a football field. So, all power to him, and let's just hope that he can keep his body right and withstand the rigours of a challenging 2017 season.
I'm into that, brother.
Yep.
Now, before we preview the Melbourne Carlton game, which is on this Sunday, 2nd of April, at the MCG at 3:20. So the obvious question we have for the Richmond game is, who was on Dusty?
That is a damned good question. I would love to know. I read during the week, Tone, how the tagger is a thing of the past.
Really?
That, I'll tell you what, after round one, I reckon there still might be a career in it for someone likely. Funny, reflecting on it now, you know, I'm just wondering whether a player like Sam Kerridge might have been not a bad go-to man just to play that totally shut down negative role on Martin. But maybe, you know, I mentioned earlier how the coaching staff have to keep their nerve. Mm. And maybe there's a bigger picture at play here that, you know, the game plan's all about, you know, playing front foot, attacking, you know, uncompromising footy and going at it hard. But yeah, look, I mean, you know, Martin kicked forward, didn't he, as a midfielder and pushing forward, admittedly.
Yeah.
But he had it on the string, didn't he?
He really did. And look, it was great to watch, I've got to say.
It was.
And, you know, fair play to him. He played an amazing game.
No.
As I said, Melbourne Carlton, 2nd of April, MCG. It's this Sunday at 3:20. Tone.
Yes, yeah, and off a terrific second half turnaround against St Kilda at Etihad Stadium. Obviously, the players will have taken a lot of confidence out of that contest, and they appear to be seeing themselves for, you know, almost a landmark season, the Melbourne players. Perhaps they are where we want to be. Maybe they're a year or two ahead in terms of their development. But again, I think for current supporters looking on, maybe, you know, you look at Melbourne as the model there, and you think, you know, that it hasn't been long that, you know, players like Petrarca and Brayshaw have been together at the club. But look at the improvement, you know, and the improvement's dramatic. So we're continuing pretty quickly. You know, in respect of the game Sunday, Tony, yes, it'll be an enormous challenge for the Carlton players once again. But I'm sure they'll approach it, you know, in the right manner. They'll certainly be up for the task. And actually look forward to seeing two young teams, you know, pit their skills against one another, you know. And it may well be that in Carlton and Melbourne we see two teams that are going to be fairly ferocious competitors, you know, in the medium to long term ahead. You know, you mentioned off air earlier, Tony, Jesse Hogan, and who may stand him. Well, maybe you give Sam Rowe a crack at Hogan first. I mean, Rowe did a pretty good job on Jack Riewoldt, keeping him to one.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ball was getting in there a fair bit. Mm. So maybe we look at Sam Rowe as the starter there. The prospect of someone like Vietering standing Jesse Hogan's an interesting one too, but perhaps they'll be looking at Jakob to find the big ones at the other end. So, yeah. But, you know, what we do know is...
Well, Caswell might fire.
Well, he might. You know, so Brendan Bolton's got a lot of options there. So let's see how it pans out. But it'll be an enormous test for the Carlton players come Sunday, because Melbourne... look the goods, don't they? They really do.
They look like they're going to earn and keep their spot in the top
eight. They do.
Now, Tone, I love piffing the odd history question your way. Can we talk about players who have played for both clubs or have gone either way? Sean Charles is the first one, I think.
I remember Sean Charles. It was tragic because he was so... I think I can recall Sean Charles and David Schwartz... there was a double act in that final against Carlton. They really lifted for that game and put us to the sword.
Yeah,
can't remember the year off the top, but were very good in that game, in that particular game at final.
That wasn't 94, was it?
May well have been.
Yeah.
And then Sean Charles ended up at Carlton and tragically broke his leg in his one and only appearance for the club.
Yeah.
It ended a really promising career because Sean Charles had all the tricks. He was a genuine football talent. And I remember not long after that game, he basically disappeared. And I can remember I was working at the Herald Sun at the time, and they sent me to, I think it was Barmer, right up on the Murray.
Yeah.
And I tracked him down on an Aboriginal settlement.
Wow.
And it was that time of his life where he just needed to get away, you know, and he felt that he was at home. He was a nice fellow, Sean Charles, and I often wonder. Mm. What's become of him, you know, how he's getting on, what he's up to. But it was tragic in terms of his footy because he could play and yet injury, that shocking broken leg really crueled his career. Mm. So, yes, there's one...
There's
one,
Sean Charles. There's Well, there's Ron Brassi.
Well, the great yeah. Ronald Dale, you know. You know, it's still... I mean, I still think of it as the greatest recruiting coup in football history, and that's Judd included. Mm. You know, when you think of the implications to both Carlton and Melbourne, with Barassi leaving. I mean, it's quite staggering. Yeah. I think Carlton have taken 8 premierships since, and Melbourne are still haven't been to the mountaintops in 64. You know, what a legacy Ron Barassi left at Carlton and Melbourne. Let's be honest. You know, 17 for 10, wasn't it? 17 grand finals for 10 premierships. It's a staggering
stat. And then North Melbourne in there as well.
Well, that's right, North Melbourne, and of course Sydney, and then back to Melbourne again. What a great football man, you know. And I don't know if he'll be there. I don't know if he'll be there on Sunday, Ron. But you know, it'd be great to see the great man out there, if at all possible.
Indeed. Well, it'd be great to see as many of us in the great the old dark navy blue. Again, that time, Sunday, 2nd of April at 3:20 p.m. Get on down there. Go Blues for Sunday. Tony DeBolfo.
Great to see you back, Tony.
And Tony Moclair. And we will be back with episode 3 of the Two Tones next week.